As we celebrate Father's Day, you know, families, children, grandchildren will always look to father and grandfather. But you know, it's really sad that the news media hardly ever mentions fathers unless they're doing something wrong. And they, you know, or they didn't do what they're supposed to do. And you know, that's only true of a small proportion of fathers. I want to call your attention today to fathers and grandfathers around the world who faithfully provide and protect their families. I want to salute our fathers today that are there for their families, often unnoticed. I call them unrecognized heroes in our society. Today, if I have a title for this message, it's called Godly Fathers Are Heroes. Billy Graham said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. One child unknown said, some people don't believe in heroes, but they haven't met my dad. You know, some people, and maybe even the dictionary, describes a hero as someone who has had a special achievement, special abilities, personal qualities, and is regarded as a model or an ideal. I think that could be said of fathers. Fathers are heroes because they often do things for their families that others do not see and others are not willing to do. Fathers are role models that children and grandchildren watch. Fathers provide an example that influences children for the rest of their lives. Another individual said, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. You need to be encouraged that what you are doing, fathers, is making a difference in children's life, your children's lives. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 31, it says, so Jehoshaphat was king over Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubab, the daughter of Shallum. And he walked in the way of his father Asa, and did not turn aside from him, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. Here we read that Jehoshaphat was influenced by his godly father, and he did not turn away when he became the king. And he did what was right in the sight of God. This shows the power of a godly father. You know, I want to read some statistics to you from Focus on the Family that I think are very interesting. If a child is the first person in the household to become a Christian, there's a 3.5% possibility that everyone else in the household will follow. If the mother is the first to become a Christian, there's a 17% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. But if the father is the first, there's a 93% possibility everyone else in the household will follow. I think this shows us the influence of fathers. This is statistics that focus on the family and had come up with, and Promise Keepers at Work. You know, these are some startling statistics. When fathers lead in the natural and in the spiritual things, it brings blessings to the family. Blessings from God and blessings in the natural. We need more fathers making difference in our society today. One of the things that if you go and you do some study, you will find that one of the things that they say that is one of the biggest problems with our unruly young people, it is because there are no father figures for them to follow as an example. You know, as I think about my dad, and he would, coming up this August, he would have been 102 if he hadn't went home to be with the Lord. You know, I got to thinking as I was working this message, you know, it was his determination to follow God in what God called him to do that was a tremendous blessing to our family. It wasn't easy for him to do it. I remember my mother told me, I was born on Sunday and I was at my grandfather's house out in the country. The doctor came to the house and 1939, Dad was at his church preaching, and he got there as soon as he could afterwards. And my mom said one of the first questions he asked is, when can he start going with me? One of the reasons is his father had left them. And he wanted to have a relationship with me, in which he did. He would take me with him in the car. In fact, I got a scar right here, and it goes all the way through my lip. When I was 3, I went to the post office with him, and he told me to stay in the car, and I decided I wanted to get out, and I opened the door and fell out and cut my lip open. And, you know, he always said that he came back and he wiped the blood off of me, and he said, son, if you'll listen to what I say, you won't get hurt. You know, dads should always be giving words of encouragement and instruction and wisdom without being punishable. You see, he could have got all upset and punished me for getting out of the car. But you see, I guess he figured I'd punish myself enough. But you know, as he left that church to go out into the traveling ministry, I know that it was very hard on him. But his influence in our lives today, myself, my sister, and our families, I believe is because of his dedication and his bulldog tenacity and determination to do what God called him to do, no matter how hard it hurt. You know, I want to talk about 4 major things that I think that are very, very important for fathers. Number 1, godly fathers stand in the gap for their family. Mark 5, we're always really interested in the story of the woman with the issue of blood. But just above that is a story of a father. One of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And he saw him and he fell at his feet and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed and thronged him. Here we find Jairus is in a desperate situation. His daughter is dying. Desperate situations call for desperate means sometimes. Jairus defied the expected protocol of his position as he was a leader. It was not, let's say, politically correct for him to go to Jesus and fall on his knees. But he boldly stood in the gap for his child, not caring what they thought about him. Not caring that he could lose his position because of what he did. You see, as Jesus stopped to heal the woman with issue of blood, they came and told Jairus, don't worry the master anymore. Your daughter has gone. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. Here a father refused to believe the bad report, but believed Jesus. And the daughter was raised up. Today, we need fathers that will rise up in the authority of the name of Jesus and stand in the gap against Satan for their families. We need fathers that will stand on the Word of God. Fathers that will speak the Word of God. Fathers that will not give up until they see the victory. Secondly, godly fathers are there for their families. The Voice translation of Matthew 7:11 says, so if you who are sinful know how to give your children good gifts, how much more so does your Father in heaven, who is perfect, know how to give great gifts to his children? Now this verse lets us know that we earthly fathers ought to be imitating the Heavenly Father, who is always willing to help his children. Godly fathers are there to provide for their family. They do not let their family suffer because of lack of support. Earthly fathers need to be a visible example of how good the Heavenly Father is. That helps children then to want to know the Heavenly Father. Godly fathers need to help their families be successful in life. Godly fathers do all they can to be there for their families. You know, father and the son went fishing. And when they returned, the father was talking to one of his buddies and one of his friends. And at the same time, his son was talking to his friend. The friend asked the father, said, well, how did your fishing trip go? The father's response was, it's the worst day of my life. We struggled to get the boat ready. Then we stopped for gas. We got there late to the lake late. And finally got the boat in the water. By the time we got out on the water, all the good fishing spots was already taken. When we did start fishing, the lines got tangled. No matter what kind of bait we used, we didn't catch anything. The sun was hot and the mosquitoes were biting. Now the son's friend asked him, how was your fishing trip, buddy? The son replied, it was the best day of my life. We didn't catch anything, but I got to spend the whole day with my dad. You know, I remember as an 8, 9 year old being outside and seeing that old 38 Pontiac, 36 Packard, and then eventually a 49 Oldsmobile. Pull up at the house, and Dad would get out. His beard was grown out. He hadn't shaved. He had been driving for 22 straight hours from California in that 49 Oldsmobile. I remember that distinctly. Just so he could eat a meal with us and get in the car and drive another 12 hours to start another meeting. I saw him do that time and time again. I saw him drive all night just to eat breakfast with my sister and I, and then spend some time at home. And then when we got back home, Mom said, well, he had to leave. He's going to somewhere to start a meeting. You know, even though he was doing that, I saw him sacrifice himself for me. And I will tell you that is probably the only thing that kept me from rebelling against God. Fathers, you do not realize what you do sometimes is what will keep your son or daughter from rebelling against God. You know, I remembered a few years back, and my son said to me, he said, Dad, he said, I like it when it's just me and you. And at that time, Cameron and Blake and Skyler both were there. And it's just me and you and the boys out here at the racetrack. Blake and Cameron both were racing at that time, and Skyler too. And you know, that meant more to me than anything. And you know, I just had my youngest grandson tell me a while back, Poppy, thank you for coming to my game. You know, we fathers, you may not realize those, and grandfathers, you may not realize those little things like that are having a more of an effect upon your family than any gift you can buy them, any money you can give them. You can give them the world, but if you don't give them your time, you might as well have not done anything. You know, I knew with the sacrifices that Dad made when he wasn't there in person, I knew he was there with me. That influence has affected me in my entire life. Godly fathers are there with faith in their children. Children need to know that their fathers believe in them, even when they do wrong. I used to tell Denise and Craig every night when I put them to bed, with you and God, you can be anything or do anything you want to do. And I still believe that today. I believe that, and as I took them to school, I would say to them, Jesus loves you. Dad loves you. Have a great day. And I would hear other parents say, you better not get in trouble today. Why leave? And that's one thing I learned from my dad. Never leave with it negatively. Always leave it positive. Jim Valvano said, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. Fathers, if you want to be your children and grandchildren, grandfathers, don't be your children's heroes, then Be there for them when they need you. Godly fathers teach. They teach their families the ways of the Lord. They teach their families and their children the natural things that they need to know. Lynette will say to me many times, she said to me, because I can fix about anything around the house. But you know where I learned it? With my dad. I learned to work on cars with my dad. I learned to fix a washing machine, the old kind with the ringers. And you young people don't understand that one. How many of you others understand that one? You see, and I learned not only from natural. I remember our first air conditioner, wind and air conditioner that we put in. You see, just don't tell. Do it in front of them and do it with them, both naturally and spiritually. Teach. Proverbs 4:1-2 says in the Voice translation, gather children to hear your father's instructions. Pay close attention so you'll understand. For I am passing down to you important precepts. Do not abandon these valuable life lessons. These are the words of King Solomon. They're words that need to be heeded to. The value and the impact of a father's instruction to his children cannot be overestimated. It makes an impact that lasts for a lifetime. Once again, Solomon said in Proverbs 22:6 in the Voice translation, teach a child how to follow the right way, and even when he's old, he will stay on course. Yeah. You know, I have seen this happen many, many times. As a child would leave and go out on their own, but as they got older, I would watch them, even my friends, return. There's a song that Kenneth Copeland sings sometimes, Return to the God of My Childhood. Anybody heard him saying that? You know, let's throw in a little humor here. At one time or another, all of us in this auditorium has heard a father say one of these or maybe more, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Anybody ever heard that? I'm not made out of money. You're going with us and you will have fun. Evidently, many of you have heard these statements. Who's paying the bills around here anyway? Get down before you kill yourself. Anybody heard that one? Why? Because I said so. Just wait till you have kids of your own. You know, those are all funny statements, but all of us have probably heard one or more of those as we grew up. You know, we need to have Fathers need to have times of instruction with your children. And I found that many times instruction happens better in an informal setting whenever you're just sitting around. In the early years of Rhema, before we had the church, we would load up and go out into western Oklahoma to the sand dunes. We had great, great family times. Riding our four-wheelers and our three-wheelers and there having campfires. And sometimes after a day of riding, we'd be around a campfire just sitting and talking. You know, those times probably meant more to the kids than some of the other times, because they still talk about them today. You know, until they got up and to be having their cars and going and going, we had every night we had supper or dinner, whatever you want to call it, together. The family did. Even when they got to be teenagers and had their own cars, they always hung around the house until we took them with us to eat, and then they'd go pick up with that, because that way they didn't have to spend their allowance for their food. Dad bought it. But I was glad to do it. We enjoyed those times. Now, number four, let me quickly go to this. Godly fathers love their families unconditionally. The Voice translation of Luke 15, 20 through 24. So he got up and returned to his father. The father looked off in the distance and saw the young man returning. He felt compassion for his son and ran out to enfold him in an embrace and kiss him. The son said, "Father, I have done terrible wrong in God's sight and in your sight too. I've forfeited my right to be treated as your son." But the father turned to the servants and said, "Quick, bring the best robe we have. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Get the fatted calf and butcher it. Let us have a feast and celebrate, because my son was dead, is alive again. He was lost and has been found." So they had a huge party. Of course, you all know that's the story of the prodigal son. But that's a picture of how the Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally. It's a picture of how we, as earthly fathers, need to love our children unconditionally. You know, a godly father's love sometimes is hard to describe, and it's really hard to understand for you that are not fathers. When Craig and Denise were born, at that time you couldn't be in the delivery room. But I never will forget when they rolled that incubator out with Craig and I looked in that face, I knew that that moment that I'd give my life for him. And 4 years later, the same thing happened when I looked into the face of my beautiful daughter. I knew that I would do whatever was necessary, even to give him my life. And I'm sure that there are many, how many of you fathers will raise your hand and say the same thing with me than when you looked at that child? You know, the Apostle John said in John 1:3-1, the Voice translation, "Consider the kind of extravagant love the Father has lavished on us. He calls us children of God. It's true, we're his beloved children." You know, other people may consider the Father's love for his children extravagant, but the Father gives more love to his children than necessary. God gives us love unconditionally. We need to love our children that way. If children see us as loving fathers, then they have no problem seeing God as a loving Heavenly Father. You know, love your children even when they don't deserve it. At some point, that love will draw them back. Will they always do everything right? No. Will you always do everything right? No. But you can try. And when you mess up, you can ask for forgiveness. I remember one time I jumped to a conclusion before I heard the whole matter, and I disciplined Craig. And then when I heard the whole story, I had to go back and ask him to forgive me. And somebody said, "Oh, you lose your parental authority." No, I gained more parental authority, because he realized that if I wasn't right, I would correct it. You see, love never fails. That's true spiritually, and then we all look at that. But that is a true statement in the natural. You see, we all, as fathers, grandfathers, we need God's help to live our lives so that our children can see that God is a great father. We need our helps, God's help, as we live our lives before our children. We need God's power to be able to be a godly father. Today, I want all the fathers to stand. Now, I want, if you're not sitting with your father, I want you to go and stand there. And I want you to stand with your fathers now as you stand up. If you're here and your father's here, stand with your father. If some of you see some fathers or grandfathers standing by themselves, wives, you can stand up too. I'm sorry, I should have had you stand. If you see some people standing by themselves, go over and stand with them, all right? And I see some of the teenagers moving to be with their, and some of the young adults moving to be with their families. That's great. I want to pray a prayer for fathers and grandfathers and families today. And y'all can lay your hands on your father, and you can pray for them as I pray. Part of this is going to be me, and part of it is going to be a prayer that I found that a father prayed for himself. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, well, I thank you for ministering to each and every father in this place today. Father, when it looks like that they're not accomplishing, help them not to be discouraged. When things don't seem to be going right, help us to reach out and take hold of your hand and let you lead and guide us as we guide our families. When no one seems to be listening, help us to keep on being a voice that gives instruction and wisdom and spiritual guidance to our families. When we're alone, Father, and nobody's with us and nobody's watching, help us to still be that example that our children should see. And Father, sometimes when we feel abandoned and neglected, help us to realize that our children still need us. Father, today, may we be that godly father that stands in the gap, that godly father that is there for our families. May we be that teacher that is there to teach and to guide our families. And Father, most of all, may we have unconditional love like you had for us when you gave your son for us. Today, help each one of us to recommit our lives to you and recommit our commitment to be all we can be for our families. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that prayer, say amen. Amen. God bless you today. I trust you got something from this message. Everyone can stand now. Thank God for fathers. If your father or your grandfather is, if they're both still alive, give them a call today. Text them, do something. If you're not, if your father is not, and your grandfathers are not, then think about them. My grandfather, the only one I knew, my mom's dad, Papa, every September, bought me a pair of boots. He went to be with the Lord when I was in the sixth grade. For a long time, I wouldn't wear boots after that. But Papa said something to me that I have tried to impart to my kids and my grandkids and to others. He said to me, he said, son, you're only as good as your word. He said, I don't need a lawyer or an attorney. If I give my word on something, I'll do it even if it costs me money. And I've done that. I've done some things and it's cost me money because I gave my word and then I found out that I was going to lose it, but I did it anyway because I gave my word. You see, I will be 79 in September. And that was when I was 12 years old that Papa went home to be with the Lord. But those words are still as real to me today as they were the day that he said them to me. Fathers, grandfathers, words that you say will be in a child's heart for the rest of their lives. So watch your words. I trust you got something for this today. Bow your heads for just a moment. If you happen to be in here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you need to rededicate yourself to God, or you may be here today and you may be in a position of not knowing Jesus or needing to rededicate, and you remember your father that prayed for you. And I want to pray for you because your heavenly Father is waiting for you with unconditional love. Anybody in this auditorium, you need Christ? You need to rededicate your life to God? Let me see your hand right now so I can pray with you and for you. Upstairs, downstairs, all over the building. If you need, let me see your hand right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I feel like doing something today. If you're watching on television and you need Jesus or you need to rededicate your life, if you're in this room and you need to rededicate or you need your life turned over to God, would y'all pray this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your unconditional love. Thank you that your son, Jesus, came to this earth. He lived, he died, and he rose again for my redemption. You said in your Holy Bible that if I would believe this in my heart and confess this with my mouth, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. I thank you now, Lord, that I am that new person in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were watching and you prayed that prayer, there's a number on the screen, partnerservices@rhema.org. Call us. If you're in this room and you prayed that prayer, as you go out today, let the person at the door, because we'll be at the doors, let us know that you prayed that prayer with us today. Okay? Praise the Lord. Remember all the announcements tonight, 6 o'clock right here. Wednesday night right here.